date in our calendar is 96-24-55, State of Ohio, versus Novella. Who's winner? Leonard, excuse me.
This claim is in the first proposition of law. The first is oral argument, and I will confine my discussion to the entitlement to discover the United States versus Armstrong. In the United States versus Armstrong, the Supreme Court set out the standard of evidence the defendant must meet in order to obtain discovery on his claim of selective prosecution. Armstrong Court held that a defendant must show some evidence of the essential elements of selective prosecution. That is, the discriminatory effect on the defendant, as well as that it was motivated by a discriminatory purpose. The defendants in Armstrong say that federal prosecutors engaged in racial discrimination when choosing to prosecute African Americans in federal courts in violation of federal law involving crack cocaine. In support of this, they only offered some evidence of a disproportionate impact on African Americans. The Supreme Court held that absent evidence that similarly situated individuals of a different race were treated differently, the defendant failed to meet her burden to obtain discovery. The Supreme Court held that the requirement of some evidence of similarly situated persons treated differently adequately balances the prosecutor's need to exercise discretion in prosecuting crimes and the defendant's need to avoid selective prosecution. Mr. Keene presented the evidence that was lacking in Armstrong. No one could be more similarly situated than Mr. Keene than the co-defendant Heather Matthews. She was white, and she was an adult, and therefore the only co-defendant who was death eligible in this case. Also, compared to Margalis Keene, she is the only one with prior criminal records. She played a central role in the murders and robberies that took place in December of 1992. However, the prosecution chose not to pursue the death penalty against her. He did seek a death indictment only when he sought to obtain her testimony against Marvallis Keene. When she agreed to testify against Marvallis Keene, the death specification was dropped. There was obviously sufficient evidence to bring the death indictment against her. And there was also some evidence that Heather's intent and probability to disclose her Mr. Keene's trial. The murder of Mr. Wilkinson, Heather agreed to go with others to Robin. She agreed that they would go to the house and the pretext to have an orgy. Heather tied Mr. Wilkinson up with an electrical cord to the bed while a gun was being held on him. And at one point, she suggested using a hammer on his head. She stole several of his possessions, put them into the car, and on three other occasions returned to the scene of the crime to do more. More of his possessions while Mr. Wilkinson lay dead in bed. Concerning the murder of a grocery store clerk, Heather agreed with the others to rob a grocery store at gunpoint. Heather handed one of the loaded guns to a co-defendant. And the plan was that she would wait in the car with the door open until after the robbery was finished. After the robbery and the resulting murder of a grocery store clerk, she drove the getaway car.
Counsel, here we're faced with two individuals. One of them engaged in real court conduct, not just one.
What's the evidence on whether that's constituted?
motion makes a case without stating in one or the other of these two issues with the deal in order to bolster their case and be sure that this jury that was marking there and share the evidence with that testimony that's happened.
Yes, it might be the resolution as to $51 to the victory that has been discussed as a crime. Nonetheless, under equal protection analysis of United States versus Armstrong, once the burden of some evidence is met, similarly situated person, then the defendant is entitled to discovery. After discovery, he has the burden of making out a prima facie case. And at that point, if he's met the burden of a prima facie case, the prosecution may come forward with a race-neutral explanation for his term decision. And after he's been doing an evidentiary hearing, the reason there is a burden of some evidence to discovery is that it's very difficult for me to let the prosecution claim. And the prosecutors are typically charged with the discretion to concerning what proofs which have been indicted do not have been indicted. What and the court recognizes this and refers to the prosecution the discretion usually unless there is some evidence to the contrary.
I take it your client was not offered.
He was not
a similar deal. You can first attest.
The prosecution made no offer to negotiate
with Mr. On the overall facts of all the events that occurred here with Scott and these two individuals, wouldn't it appear just on the face of it that your client is supposed the conduct's so bad on the part of both is focus on that avenue. If you have to pick and choose on the face of the wounded appeal with your client, should not be the first to be offered a deal?
It would appear that way, but one doesn't really know without delving further into the prosecution's charging position. Morales not only offered the evidence of Heather Matthews, but other evidence of similarly situated individuals who were treated differently on the basis of race. About the time of only 6 months prior to his death indictment, there was three defendants who were all white and each of them charged with 2,000-aggravated murder. And although factually all of the death specifications for which Marvallis Keene had been charged with were present in their case, prosecution chose not to pursue the death penalty against them. It presented evidence of how Colson and Slotsky, in their cases, although the death specifications were present, the prosecution chose not to pursue them. There was the specification of an offense committed for the purpose of evading detection and punishment of a crime.
Counsel, I'm interested just to proceed from say we bought into your argument that there should have been at least an opportunity for discovery to explore this. Could we send this case back for said discovery and findings if that's very the conviction or the death sentence? He really has no bearing on guilt or imposition of penalty if ultimately it were concluded with proper discovery and proper hearings that there was no racial bias in the application of the statute.
If it was determined that there was no prosecution, then the court could be indicted, the case could be remanded to the court to complete whatever review it left.
In other words, essentially put the merits on hold.
Absolutely.
And go back and do that.
This court did something similar in the state versus Stewart. You could remand this case, specifically ordering the court to simply order discovery. And the court could supervise the discovery, hold the discovery in camera such that whatever that the defendant is not entitled to, that is not probative on the issue of selective prosecution, could be withheld. That record could be sealed for the court. And then if the defendant fails to meet his claim of selective prosecution, this court could order the case to be remanded directly back to the court to review any remaining issues.
Court, once the justifications are met, this court
purposes of looking at proportionality of the review. The statute directs this court for the purposes of proportionality review to look at similar cases to the one that's at issue. And this court decided that similar cases are those in which the death specifications are present. In Lundgren, there were five victims. This court for the purposes of proportionality review looked at cases where there was only two victims. However, there was the same death specification of a course of conduct, and the course of conduct only requires two victims. Also in State v. Ballou, the defendant received the death penalty because he was an aider and abettor. And he had sufficient culpability to be charged with aggravated murder. For the purposes of proportionality review, this court compared his case with other cases in which the defendant was the actual shooter. Those cases were sufficiently similar to compare with the case at hand. And Armstrong, for the purposes of selective prosecution, doesn't require anything more.
That argument sounds like the position you're taking is that you're here today to see whether or not we will vacate the penalties of death or the penalty of death five times over. Would that be a fair assumption? I guess my question is, are you conceding guilt and we're just talking about mitigation? And let me tell you before you answer, because I don't want to lead you down the path, because I'm going to ask you about the confession. Are you here just on the death penalty today?
Well, inasmuch as this issue concerns the charging of death specification, it's going to affect the conviction and it's going towards death specification. Therefore, you cannot single out the fact that he received the death penalty. One has to consider death specification that was found during the trial phase.
Okay, so your answer is you would not only obviously like us to vacate the death penalty, but you'd like us to reverse the conviction for a new trial, and of course the death penalty would fall by the wayside at that point. Given that position, if that's your position, how do you square away his very clear confession? Now, I understand that he said he wasn't lucid, he'd been drinking wine and popping pills, but he was driving the car at the time he was arrested. And the trial court's findings on that are very specific. And aren't they entitled, in fact, not entitled, but aren't we required to accept those, unless the record supports them, as being factual and true? And didn't they find the confession was voluntary, knowing, and very clear and unequivocal?
Well, on the issue of the Fourth Amendment, the court can review the issue of de novo.
Yes.
The application of the law to fact. However, for the purposes of remanding for the limited purpose of discovery on the selective prosecution claim, the confession and the Fourth Amendment issue is irrelevant.
Okay, well, that's why I want to see how you tie that up. Let me concede, for purposes of argument, selective prosecution. How does that get to negate the confession? I mean, it's got to be a confession that you've seen a number of them, I suppose, and so have I. There isn't much question about this one. And it's about as clear and unequivocal as anybody could be saying, yeah, I did it, and this is how I did it, and this is who I did it to and with. I mean, it had all the elements, didn't it? So whether it's selective prosecution or not, he admits his guilt if you accept the confession.
In cases where there have been some violations of equal protection and or based, whether or not it was based on selective prosecution or not, the court has, the United States Supreme Court has unequivocally held that the remedy is vacation of the conviction and or sentence. That does not mean that Margolis even could not be tried again.
So if you show selective prosecution, everything else goes beside, by the wayside. Confession, overwhelming evidence, admissions, independent witnesses, all of that we as a reviewing court discard if we find that, well, yeah, they picked him out in this case to prosecute. that really your argument? Given State v. Williams, it says, you know, no matter what the errors are, if the evidence is overwhelming, we're to, in fact, look at all that overwhelming evidence.
There can be no harmless error with regard to if there is, in fact, a prosecution. I mean, it matters your inference that the evidence is overwhelming. Because we as a country have decided that equal protection of the law is an overriding enforce to everyone. If it's not there for Marvell's team, then it's not there for any of them. And if, in fact, the prosecution was motivated by a discriminatory purpose, then Marvell's team is entitled to have conviction and sentence vacated. That's an impermissible reason for deciding to pursue the death penalty in a specific case and not to pursue it in a case in which the facts
are similar. Okay. At this point, if
there are any questions, I'll reserve my time remaining for the final.
Thank you, Ms. Leonard. Ms.
Ingram. Mr. Chief Justice, I'm here today to ask this court to affirm the sentence that has passed on this defendant. To find the aggravating circumstances outweigh mitigating factors beyond reasonable doubt, to hold the sentence to death proportional, and to find that there's no reversible error in proceeding to the law.
Why did you pick out poor Mr. Keene for this? Everybody, why did you just selectively prosecute? Did you?
No, he confessed. They, at the time he was charged, capital charged, they confessed an enormous amount of utterly convincing evidence that he had killed 566. They're in researching the issue of multiple murders. I have found no death penalty cases in Ohio related to this court where more than five people have been killed. Evidence was strong. The crimes were atrocious. He was charged capitally because he confessed to killing five people in 50 hours' time.
Why did you leave the white woman there?
She was capitally charged. She was initially charged, not capitally. And I don't believe he, but no, both of them were not charged capitally initially because, as you can imagine, there was a tremendous amount of evidence just to get her to figure out which of these four people were involved and there were actually big homicides, one of which he wasn't charged with, how the evidence came together. So that initially both were charged non-capitally so that a bond could be set and we could have them in custody. And then when the evidence, we got through the evidence, the capital indictment came out again. Both had Matthews and Margot's team. The other two participants were not eligible to be arrested because they were juveniles. Heather Matthews had been charged with capital offenses. Her trial and his were both continued. Her trial was set to occur before his. The evidence that Dick had against Heather Matthews was somewhat weaker than it had against Keene. She was not a principal. She never pulled the trigger. Oh, she was involved and she shared in the spoil, but she never personally killed anyone. And she came to the prosecutor to make a deal. It outlined in the state's response to the motion since the death penalty specification. And she was willing to offer testimony not just against Keene, but against the other defendants. And while her testimony against Keene was very helpful, it was important what she did to fill in the blanks. She told the judges where what they had been doing during this entire amount of time. She gave a lot of information. She provided a narrative framework. Her important, her testimony was very important against Keene. It was, however, critical against the other co-defendants, the Marcus Smith, and particularly Laura Taylor. And by her deal, she was willing to plead her testimony against and she did. Furthermore, this was no sweet deal. She was willing to plead to term that included that it will not send her to parole board for 52 years. Her participation in the crimes was less. Moreover, she was willing to testify against the co-defendant. She is not similarly situated equal protection protected those with respect to a defendant who can show, and in this case, make some showing that those similarly situated have not been prosecuted.
Because that's the point here, isn't it? That the defense isn't saying that they have yet proved this. What they said is they're entitled to discovery, and that they only needed to come forward with some showing. And was Heather not of sufficient? You're saying she wasn't similarly situated, and therefore they didn't make the showing.
That's right. When they came forward, I want to go back just a second and talk about their motion. When they asked for discovery. And the motion is moved to testimony specification. In the memory of support, they asked for discovery. They asked for a great deal of reassuring information. They asked for an order from the court allowing them to issue a subpoena to the prosecutor of Montgomery County and examine on the issue, grand jury transfer, and they asked for information about aggravated murder cases since 1981. They responded to their substantive argument and said, the three examples you've given to your case do not involve people similarly.
They're not proving the case, just making their showing.
You're not making the requisite showing. And in the federal cases cited in my brief, are clear that the state has a chance when they make their motion, charging discrimination and charging, that the court looks at all the evidence, including what the state presented. The state came back and said, look, Heather Matthews was not situated similarly with you. She came to us, she was willing to testify against the co-defendant. She was with you on this crime spree, she didn't kill anyone. Furthermore, there are evidentiary problems in including a case against Heather Matthews, whose case was coming up for trial first a month before. She wasn't inside the shortstop anymore. She drove the car, but she can't testify to what happened there. She wasn't similarly situated to Keene at all. Nor was the three defendants that they mentioned. They were Weston Howe, Walter Folsom, and Antonio Lofsky in the earlier case. They didn't kill five people, they killed two people. And again, the state evidence was much weaker. In that case, the state made an agreement with two of the defendants to testify against the third, Weston Howe. And Weston Howe was still acquitted of one of the homicides with which he was charged. The evidence in that case was much weaker. What you're suggesting here. Heather Matthews
Do you think, counsel, under Armstrong, that that's, that should be the procedural way this is approached, that you could, that the state has an opportunity right at the to refute or rebut the initial effort at an initial showing?
Yes,
under Armstrong.
Under Armstrong, and that's in fact, that was how the court proceeded in Armstrong below, and that portion did not appear to be affected by the Supreme Court's ruling in Armstrong. It, I would say it's somewhat comparable to that initial, when someone makes the initial challenge and the state has the opportunity to respond. And the reason I think the state should be given the opportunity to respond has to do with the and as the court noted, I think in Armstrong, asking the prosecutor to provide discovery is in a lot of ways almost as burdensome as putting them on the stand. You are asking them to, in this case, it was probably then manually going through files and pulling out this information. Some of this information was certainly as available to the defense as it was to the state.
Well, I suppose in theory it could only be limited to this issue of racial choices. You know, it would have to be that limited, but
it would. But
in order to show it, maybe you need a lot more.
Right.
Prosecutor promised to keep secret until this case is over. Could you proceed up to a point and just say, okay, you've opened the door on this and I'm going to lay these issues aside, and so we go through trial, get the verdict and sentencing, and we'll come back on both cases, and then we'll come back and revisit whether or not there was really any necessity to kind of deal with this.
Interesting too that in the other cases that I'm thinking of where try to get the defendant to give us a life sentence. That is considered a mitigation, but I don't think any of the cases involves the question of equal protection. This court itself recognized in Statements of Learning, quoted as question versus can't be affected. So the cases become dependent and aggravated so that everyone agrees that the cases that the death penalty should be applied to. Then the race effect, involved in the study that was subject of a question versus tip, they go away. And this is one of those cases where this man confessed to killing five people, where we had, when we charged him, utterly convincing evidence. We had physical evidence that he did the crime, a false confession, and the testimony of Nicholas Woodsman, who was a minor participant in some of the robberies, and that's when he was charged. Given that, the trial court properly overruled the motion to dismiss and properly did not permit discovery. State Ohio then asked the court of independent review to find that the each count of aggravated murder and the aggravated circumstances outweighed the offenses. This may kill just the court of the counsel of mind and the prosecutor. He killed the people less for the lead coating of steel shoes. He killed Sarah Abraham with $30 she had in the cash register. And he killed Martin Washington and Lynn Petro because they knew what he did and he couldn't trust them enough to survive. There's no mitigation to be found in killing friends and strangers at housemates with their cars, with their cash, with their coats. Nor is there anything mitigating to be found in his character and background. Mitigation evidence is not mitigated at all because it does not judge where the fortunes he has suffered in his life were sufficient to make him to mitigate his conduct or make it the death penalty not appropriate. They'd ask the court then to impose the sentence of death in criminal. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Ingram. Ms. Leonard, you saved a little over 4 minutes of your time.
Team. We request this court for a limited remedy, and that is to remand the case for the limited purpose of conduct discovery on this issue. Should Marvell's team not prevail on his claim of malicious prosecution, the court may order the trial court to simply remand the case to complete whatever review is remaining. Thank you.
Thank you. The case is submitted. You'll be advised for opinion. And the assigned judge in the next case who is not yet here, please recess.
All rise.